Yes, Kath, please come forward and bring us our Bible reading, starting from the book of Micah. Micah, who was speaking to a nation who were trying to do all the right things by God, but might have been missing the point a bit. And so we'll hear about that. And then also from the book of Matthew, the Beatitudes reading.
The Old Testament reading you will find on page 903, the book of the prophet Micah, beginning on chapter 6 and the first verse. Listen to the Lord's case against Israel. Arise, O Lord, and press your case. Let the mountains and the hills hear what you say. You mountains, you everlasting foundations of the earth, listen to the Lord's case. The Lord has a case against his people. He is going to bring... do you know what? If one needs glasses, one needs glasses. My apologies. You mountains, you everlasting foundations of the earth, listen to the Lord's case. The Lord has a case against his people. He is going to bring an accusation against Israel. The Lord says, my people, what have I done to you? How have I been a burden to you? Answer me. I brought you out of Egypt. I rescued from slavery. I sent Moses, Aaron, and Miriam to lead you. My people, remember what King Balak of Moab planned to do to you, and how Balaam, son of Beor, answered him. Remember the things that happened on the way from the camp at Acacia to Gilgal. Remember these things, and you will realize what I did in order to save you. What shall I bring to the Lord, the God of heaven, when I come to worship him? Shall I bring the best calves to burn as offerings to him? Will the Lord be pleased if I bring him thousands of sheep or endless streams of olive oil? Shall I offer him my firstborn child to pay for my sins? No. The Lord has told us what is good. What he requires of us is this: to do what is just, to show constant love, and to live in humble fellowship with our God. And turning to the New Testament on page 7, chapter 5, verse 1, the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus saw the crowds and went up a hill, where he sat down. His disciples gathered round him, and he began to teach them. Happy are those who know they are spiritually poor. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Happy are those who mourn. God will comfort them. Happy are those who are humble. They will receive what God has promised. Happy are those whose greatest desire is to do what God requires. God will satisfy them fully. Happy are those who are merciful to others. God will be merciful to them. Happy are the pure in heart. They will see God. Happy are those who work for peace. God will call them his children. Happy are those who are persecuted because they do what God requires. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Happy are you when people insult you, persecute you, and tell all kinds of evil lies against you, because you are my followers. Be happy and glad, for a great reward is kept for you in heaven. This is how the prophets who lived before you were persecuted. And this is the word of the Lord.
So,
So I ask you a question. What would this year look like for you to look back and say that it has been a year that was blessed? Well, the same question for here as a church. What will this year look like for us to look back and to say it was a blessed year of Traralgon District Uniting Church? Today I invite you to think, to pray in either of those ways, about our church or about yourself as an individual or your family. What would it mean to look back on 2011 and say it was a blessed year? A blessed year. A blessed year for many in our community would look something like this. They have a good job, secure money stream, good house, car, TV and Wii, some loved ones, a holiday. For me, it'd have to be to the snow. For you, it might be somewhere else. For everything in life to be falling into place nicely would be what it is to have a blessed year. What would it mean to have a blessed year? When we look at churches, what does a blessed church look like? Is it a church that is big, beautiful, growing, full of technology, people everywhere? Or does that just sound like the list I made for individuals? Is this how a church should be, reflecting the community around it? What does it mean for us as a church to be blessed? Our passage from Matthew occurs quite early in Jesus' ministry. Crowds are just starting to gather around him. He's just started preaching, started doing some healings and teaching people, and a whole lot of people are gathering around him. And he does what most people who are teachers would do, and he goes to a position where people recognise that he is someone of authority, and he sits down to teach. Don't know when we decided that the preacher has to stand up, but in Jesus' time they sat. Jesus went to a spot where he could let those who were wanting to follow him or to know more about him, what it would mean for them to have a blessed life. And we hear, or when we heard the words read by Kath, as to what Jesus said. Do we hear him say anything about wealth? About people liking us? About life being easy? There was nothing like that at all, was there? I want to read the Beatitudes to you again. From another version which has the word blessed rather than happy. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the land. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you, utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Blessed. In lots of ways that many of us would say is not very blessed at all. It reminds me of when I travelled a number of years ago through South America. And others who might have travelled through poorer parts of the world might be able to relate to this. You see the kids running around outside the cities and they are just so happy. Yet they don't have all our niceties in life. They are blessed, truly, aren't they? Or are they? It's important now to clarify something. What does blessed actually mean? Really important. Really important. And I got a wonderful little book, Jesus Through Middle Eastern Eyes, by a guy called Kenneth Bailey. I think I've had it up the front here once before, but it's a really good book. If you ever want to know some more about the culture, Middle Eastern culture, and understanding a little bit more about why Jesus says some of the things he says, gives another layer of depth to it. I encourage you to borrow it off me if you like, and then you might want to get it for yourself. But it says some things about the word blessed. And it says that there is two different words in both Hebrew and Greek, which we translate as blessed. Two different words. And only one of them is used in this passage. One of the words is something along the lines of bless Arnold as he's in his farming work this year. That there will be the right rain at the right times so that the harvest can happen and the cows are happy and they have a good life. It's almost like saying, God, may something good happen to Arnold. That's one version of the word blessed. That's not the version of the word blessed which is used in this passage. The other word, I'm going to read from this book now. I'll leave out a couple of words, so hopefully it all makes sense. The other word is not part of a wish list, this writer says. The first meaning for blessed is almost like a wish list. God, we wish this person be well, that person have all these other wonderful things. The other version is not like a wish list, trying to invoke a blessing. Rather, instead, it is recognising an existing state of happiness or good fortune. That is, they affirm a quality of spirituality that is already present, already there. So when we come to our Beatitudes, it's not if you are poor in spirit, you will get the kingdom of heaven. If you are mourned, you will be comforted. If you are merciful, you will gain mercy. There's not an if-then statement for those English teachers out there. Not that at all. But it is a recognition, the first part of this is a situation in which God's blessedness is already present. In the poor in spirit, the blessedness of God is already there. In the meek, it is already there. For those who are hungering and thirsting for righteousness, it is already there. For the peacemakers, God's blessedness is already there. But how is it there? He gives a little illustration. It's almost like saying, blessed is the happy daughter of... Actually, I'm going to add in Bolton here. You do have a daughter, don't you, Arnold? Got two. There we go. Blessed are the daughters, the happy daughters of Mr. Bolton. Because they will inherit the Bolton's farm. Maybe. Well, it was assumed in those days that the inheritance would go on. It may not be all given to the church. I don't know, whatever Arnold's going to do with it. But blessed are his daughters, for they are safe in the knowledge as to who they are in the Bolton household. They are not just individuals. They are Arnold and Margarita's children. And there is some blessing which comes with that relationship. So they can live out their lives... I'll use the word happy now, because that does say that one of the ways you can use this word blessed is to say happy. They can live out their lives happy, knowing what their inheritance is, knowing who they are. They can live out their life knowing they are children of Arnold and Margarita Bolton. And likewise, we can live out our lives in times where we feel poor in spirit, where we feel we are hungering and thirsting for righteousness, where we just can't find it. When we are being persecuted for who we claim to be as Christ's followers, we can be happy in life still, not because of the situation, but because we are living out the inheritance of God, of God's kingdom, the inheritance that we have because we are God's children. So as this writer says, a special feature of this version of blessed in the New Testament is that it refers overwhelmingly to the distinctive religious joy that accrues to a person from his share in the salvation of the kingdom of God. Not out of what's happening to them, but of who they are. Or maybe it's whose they are as God's people. Today, people often look for a quick fix in life, a way to make things right, a way to help me keep my nice trim taut figure, a way to get rid of my aches and pains after having played tennis yesterday, a way for me just to be happy. And if we just follow the nice list of things to do, which you can find in the Herald Sun every Monday, how to make things happen in 10 easy steps, then everything will be right. But Jesus does not give that sort of a list. He doesn't give us a list to tick off to say that we know we are blessed people. Instead, he gives the Beatitudes to illustrate the happiness which is because of our relationship with God. That we can see that no matter what our situation, God provides what we need. Sometimes as a church, we fall into a trap that we think we need to follow some certain steps in order to be a blessed church. And there are some things which will help it more than others. But there's not a list that we can just tick off and say, once we do these things, we are blessed. Because that's the situation that Micah was speaking into. He was speaking to a nation who thought, well, if we just do the right things, then we will be God's blessed people. What do I need to bring, God, into your temple? Do I need to bring a sheep or two, or a few thousand, which, by the way, was an obscene number of sheep that no one would have had? Do I need to bring some oil, the endless flow of oil? Is there anything I can do, God, that will make me be right with you, that we can be blessed, live in a relationship with you? And Micah speaks on behalf of God into that situation and says, no, it's not about those things, but about having God's heart, having the inheritance of God in us, that heart of justice, mercy, and humility before God. And I wonder, as a church, if we sometimes think, if we just come to church two or three times a month — some of you do a lot more than that, I know — if we serve on our roster, help out on a committee, well then we will know God's blessings in our life. Oh, I've done my bit, God will bless me. None of those things are bad, but that's not what it is to be blessed by God. Why are we doing those things? It's all about living out our inheritance, living out our lives in honour of who God is, having God's heart in us. So I ask you again, what would 2011 look like for you? For you to look back and say that it is a year that was blessed. The book of Matthew is a great one to help us work through that question, as individuals and as a church. It is written to a people who are trying to work out how do we be God's people in a very new situation. The world had changed dramatically, and Matthew wrote into that time as to how they can be the salt and the light of that world. Our world keeps changing, and the church has lost its place at the centre of society. How do we live out our faith in this world? How do we again be salt and light, as next week's readings will challenge us about? I invite you on a journey this year. A journey to sit with that question. What does it mean to be God's blessed people? Live out that inheritance we have in God. A journey that will at times have us feeling poor in spirit. It will at times have us mourning over the parts of life which are no more, or we can see growing dim. A journey that will lead to hunger and thirst for righteousness. A journey that will lead to a struggle with what mercy looks like in our world. And a journey which may even lead us to be persecuted by our friends or our family, maybe even by others in our church, as we struggle with what it means to be blessed, to live out our lives as God's blessed children. Will you come with me on that journey this year?